when you learn from experiences from the past, from some scars that we had in this ground, and today was a big one. It's a really, really good team, really difficult place to come, and I'm so proud of the performance, the way we navigated through the game in different stages, against decisions, how good we were in creating some big, big moments and chances, going behind them and still believing with everything that we had to throw it all, and at the end we got rewarded with, in my opinion, is a very fair result.
There's a certain electricity in watching Arsenal at St. James's Park. The air is crisp, the crowd is alive, and the city itself seems to hold its breath. And yes, VAR had its say, denying what might have been a penalty.
After review, the Newcastle goalkeeper plays the ball and there is no foul. The final decision is dropped.
But drama and triumph are woven together in Arsenal's tapestry. Newcastle struck first, Nick Voltimata lighting up the scoreboard.
It's a brilliant ball in, and it has been headed home by Nick Voltimata against the run of play.
And for a moment you felt it, that old Arsenal anxiety, the one that whispers in quiet, insistent tones about slow starts and fragile finishes. But then, like a careful orchestration, the Gunners began to find their rhythm. First, Merino with the equaliser.
His ball is glanced on and it's glanced in. Mikel Merino against his former club with just over 5 minutes left to play.
And Big Gabby stop each time. What a finish. Timing, courage, focus, all converging in that single fleeting moment. Every run, every pass, every touch reminds you why we love this game, why Arsenal still has that magnetic pull. With this win, we're second in the league, trailing Liverpool by a whisper. But patience, composure, and belief are shaping this side. Every game is a story, every victory a narrative we get to live, debate, and celebrate. For the fans, it's a reminder that football is more than results. It is culture, it is rhythm, it is life itself. And in moments like these, Arsenal reminds us, the game is as much about the quiet mastery of timing as it is about the roar of the crowd.
Up, Gunners!
Sometimes football feels less like a sport and more like one giant Nollywood script. Let's take Jared Gillette, for example. The man has officiated 66% of Arsenal's matches this season. 66%. And to make it sweeter, he's a confirmed Liverpool fan. Now tell me that doesn't smell somehow. The Premier League rules say referees cannot handle games involving their own club or city. That's why you won't see him near Liverpool or Everton matches. Fine. But why then is he everywhere Arsenal turns? Is it by mistake or by design? Fans are constructing. Maybe they can't let him ref his love, but they can let him frustrate his love's rivals. You see where conspiracy theory starts to cook? Look at yesterday. He gave Arsenal a penalty, only for VAR to cancel it. Gabriel threw an elbow, it slid. Somehow, we still managed to get 3 points, but the tension was there. You can't help but feel like the story was more about the referee and not the football. And there's nothing new here. We've seen it before. Howard Webb with United, Mike Dean with Spurs, Colina in Europe. Every generation has its enemy in black. It's part of the game's culture now. But sometimes, it's bias, sometimes it's human error, and sometimes, it's just fans refusing to believe football can be random. The conspiracy theory gives us something to hold on to. If we lose, we blame the ref. If we win, we still blame the ref, because the drama keeps the fire alive. Should referees be rotated more effectively? Of course. Should Arsenal fans calm down? Probably not. Because my people, in football, paranoia is also part of the passion.
Quick
quick pause, and I'd like to tell you about something that's close to my heart. Now, every week, Spirit-filled sermons are preached, and too often they just vanish after Sunday. But what if those same messages could keep speaking to commuters on the bus, students in hostels, professionals in traffic, even believers across borders? That's the power of podcasting. And that's why I wrote From Pulpit to Podcast, Building a Spirit-Led Sermon Series. It's a short, practical guide for pastors and ministry leaders. And in under 50 pages, I show you how to repurpose sermons into episodes that reach a digital audience, how to use simple tools to record, edit, and distribute your message, and how to build a sustainable series around your church's mission without breaking the budget or burning out the team. You need clarity for this, and that's exactly what this book gives you. So grab your copy today. It's available on seller.com. Head on to Tony Doe Media's seller store if you know how to find it, or seller.com/pulpit to podcast. seller.com/pulpit to podcast to make your purchase today. Check out the links in the show notes, and thank you for your time. 24 hours to International Podcast Day, and I'm thinking about what you're listening to right now. Up Gutters, where it all began, where it's been, where it's going, and why all that matters. It was 2014, right after that FA Cup win. Years without trophies, yet the city exploded, the streets were alive, and somewhere in the middle of it all, Up Gutters was born. Back then, it was chaos in the best way. Sound bites from viewing centers, fans yelling, opponents jeering, everything was raw, authentic. And amidst that noise, a few voices began to stick. One of them was Bucci, fresh out of university. I think he was actually in his final year in university when he joined in. And here's the thing, we didn't meet until about 2 years after. Bucci used to send in voice notes of his match reactions via WhatsApp, and I would edit and put it into the show. And I used to tell him, you know, give me 2 minutes of, you know, the match recap. Review this match for me in 2 minutes. Then I used to have lots of segments, so the match review would come first, and, you know, it would be Bucci's voice. And I'll ask for 2 minutes. My guy will send me 8 to 10 minutes full of swear words and all that. I would have to trim it down and all that, bring it to maybe just a little over 2 minutes. And sometimes he would reach out to me and be like, Baba, why you reduce my voice like that? I wanted everybody to feel the whole thing. And that was the passion that I couldn't ignore. In fact, he actually became the voice of Up Gunners after a while. And then there was NYSC, and eventually he got a gig with Wazobia FM, where he is right now. The fun fact was that the podcast played a role in landing him a gig with Femi and the Gang. Yes, but he started his radio life with Nigeria Info with Femi and the Gang, and then crossed over to Wazobia. And as they say, the rest is history. The show morphed. I tried different forms. I experimented. I stumbled. But like a true Arsenal fan, it has returned to its roots. And me, I've been here all along, sharing thoughts without bursting veins, letting the conversation breed. Up Gunners is about the joy, the heartbreak, and the relentless pulse of our Arsenal passion, albeit from my own perspective. Now, tomorrow, as the world celebrates podcasts, remember that some of the most compelling stories don't come from studios. They come from living rooms, viewing centers, and the unfiltered voices that refuse to be sidelined. That's a wrap for today's episode of Up Gunners, and I hope you enjoyed delving into the world of Arsenal Football Club with me, Tony Doe. Don't forget to subscribe to stay up to date with all future episodes. If you have any thoughts, questions, or suggestions, feel free to reach out to me at upgunnerspodcast@gmail.com. upgunnerspodcast@gmail.com. I'm active on Twitter as well at upgunnersng, active on Facebook at upgunnersng. We're also on Instagram at upgunnersng. Until next time, keep the gunner spirit alive, and remember, Up Gunners! Yeah!